All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so good. Every breath I'm able, I'll sing of the goodness of God. What a great song. Thank you for singing that song for us today. I come really bringing greetings from your Baptist family. I work for CBOQ, which is the, for want of a better word, it's the denomination which this church is affiliated with. And there's 340 churches in this Baptist family. And this church is integral part of that family. And all of these churches, I have the privilege of serving all of these churches, and all of these churches today are doing exactly what you're doing. They're reading the scriptures, they're worshiping Jesus, they're gathering together, fellowshipping together, they're loving their pastor, they're seeking to reach their community. All of these churches are doing the same thing, and I bring you greetings from these churches. They're all celebrating today the goodness of God like you're celebrating it. And well done for getting to this 58 years anniversary. I love anniversaries because they remind us to look back at how God has been faithful to us, and they remind us to be faithful to what God has begun. And as the scripture says, he who began a good work in us is going to be faithful to complete it in us. So when we come to an anniversary like this, we look back, but we look forward to God completing the work he started. And that's why we're here today, because we want to be the part of that generation that's completing God's work in us and through us in this moment today. So I'm so excited to be with you. Thank you for inviting me to be here today. It's a wonderful privilege. I used to be a Baptist pastor in the UK. I pastored a very small church that grew, and I pastored a couple of very large churches, Baptist churches in England. And when I was a Baptist pastor, I started a thing which we called Cafe Church. We took over a coffee shop, a bit like a Starbucks. And we took over a coffee shop, started a kind of church in there, which were people who don't go to church but go to coffee shops. And when we did that, the coffee shop chain, which was called Costa Coffee, you don't have it here in Canada, the coffee shop chain called Costa Coffee, they had 900 stores all over the world, 900 stores at the time. They said, "Sid, we love what you're doing. Would you start one of these in all of our stores in the UK?" And so in 2008, this business, Costa Coffee, gave me permission to start a cafe church in all of their coffee shops. So in 2008, this large church that I was pastoring sent me as a missionary to start churches in coffee shops. So my wife and I, we've been married for 29 years. My wife and I, we spent 10 years starting churches in coffee shops. That's what we were doing. And before that, and after that, we came to Canada on sabbatical. And when I was here on sabbatical, that's when CBOQ invited me to work for you wonderful people. So that's why I'm here today, because of that invitation. I hope you can understand my English accent. I remember I went to, I was in the States, and I went into a Burger King, and I said to them, "See, in the UK we say toilet, you say washroom." So I went into Burger King and I said, "Can you tell me where the toilet is?" And the guy behind the counter said, "Do you want fries with that?" So I knew that he didn't understand the word I was saying. So I hope that you can understand my accent today, and we can get straight into God's word. If you don't understand my accent, just say, "Do you want fries with that?" Okay, we're looking at Psalm 46 and verse 1. It was just read earlier for us today. Psalm 46, verse 1, it says this: "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Let's just pray, ask God to be with us, reveal his word to us as we share together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you that today, as we celebrate this anniversary, we're saying, Father, you have been faithful to us, and on your faithfulness we stand today and say, Lord, speak to us. We're listening. Lord, touch our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears. We're ready to obey. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk with us today about what I'm going to call a silent exit and a silent entry. How we have done a silent exit, but God has done a silent entry. And I'm taking this because I was talking to somebody and they were saying to me, Sid, I'm going to leave my church. I'm talking about a silent exit now. So somebody said to me, I'm going to leave my church because I've been struggling. Through the pandemic, it's been hard, and I found it difficult. And I don't want to tell anyone that I'm leaving because they'll be upset, and they'll argue with me, and I just don't want to upset people. So I'm saying I'm just going to leave my church, and I'm not going to tell anyone about it. I'm going to silently leave my congregation, my church. I've been there for many, many years, and I'm just going to silently leave. And that's what got me thinking about this idea of a silent exit, how we have done a silent exit. Because of the pandemic, it's been hard, hasn't it? We've been in building, not in the building, partially in the building. We've had to have services, not services. We don't know when we're meeting, when are we meeting. It's not been easy, has it? It's been difficult. We've been disappointed. We've been upset. Sometimes people have said things to each other that have been difficult. We've said things that have hurt each other. We've struggled. It's been hard. And we've found it difficult. We found it emotionally hard during the pandemic. You know, people said, some of the statistics say that depression has increased during the pandemic. More people feel depressed than ever before. Silently, emotionally exiting from their experience, from the things they're doing, because they feel emotionally depressed. Is making a silent exit. But statistically too, they've said that suicide, people thinking about committing suicide, suicidal thoughts have been on the increase during the pandemic because people have thought, I just want to silently exit life itself. We've struggled, haven't we, during the pandemic. Some people have burnt themselves out. There's been an increase of burnout. Even in the church, people have felt burnt out. And burnout is basically when the resources that you have aren't enough to meet the demands that are placed upon you, and you just feel inside emotionally drained, burnt out, tired, weary. Sometimes you go to bed at night and you sleep and you wake up and you're still tired when you wake up in the morning. Why? You're burnt out. The pandemic has caused us to feel emotionally drained, emotionally tired. And as we feel emotionally tired, it causes us to make an exit inside, emotional exit inside. What we're doing is we're stepping away from the demands. We're depressed, we're burnt out, we're having suicidal thoughts or thinking things that we wouldn't normally think. Before the pandemic, we wouldn't normally think this way, but now we're thinking, you know, I don't want to give as much as people are asking of me. If somebody asked me to volunteer in church, I may have said yes before the pandemic, but now I'm tired and I don't want to give as much as I want, as I'm being asked of. It's because I'm emotionally drained. I'm emotionally tired. And in the pandemic, we've had people, because of the isolation, there's more loneliness. It's something like 3 out of 5 adults would say they're lonely. There's an increase in loneliness because we've been isolated, and that loneliness makes us less inclined to want to attach, to want to give ourselves to each other, to want to have conversations. I remember when my team, we met together, and we hadn't been together. In fact, our team hasn't been in the office for 2 years. And when we finally got together, it was strange, it was weird. How do we do this? You know, how do we talk? I didn't know you had legs, you know, I just saw you on a screen the whole time. You know, how do we do this? You know, how do we talk to each other? And it's emotionally draining, isn't it? It's tiring. And because it's tiring, we've made an emotional exit. We're not engaging as we used to engage because the pandemic has caused us to lose so much. And we've lost so much, and the grief that we've felt has caused us to have emotional struggles, and we're slightly more anxious and more fearful, and we don't want to, you know, we don't want to be open as we want to be. I was in this church just a couple of weeks ago, and a lady said to me, Sid, I haven't been to church because I knew that if I came to church, I'd just burst into tears. Well, that's because we just feel the grief and we feel the loss. And something isn't quite the same as it was before. And look at you all in masks and so on. It's not quite the same, is it? I want to be able to hug you and see your smile and see your face, but you're hidden behind a mask and it's not quite the same, and it causes us to have emotional grief. We're sad it's this way. We're not happy it's like this. And because of that, we have this emotional deficit where we say, hey, I can't give like I used to give because I'm emotionally tired. And because of my emotional tiredness, I've made a silent exit from the engagements I used to have. When I was pastoring a church, somebody used to say to me, said, I'm not coming to church today because I'm grumpy. And I would say, oh, I thought church was meant to be like a hospital. You're meant to come to church because you feel grumpy, you feel anxious, you feel fearful. You're meant to come to church because the church is a hospital. The church is a place where you meet with Jesus and you're transformed by his presence. And you go out not grumpy, but I'm not coming to church because I'm emotionally drained, I'm tired, and I don't want to come because if I come... See, what we've done in churches over the years, we've taught people to be fake. We've said, when you come to church, all you can do is say, hallelujah, praise God. You've got to be excited. You've got to be cheerful. You've got to be joyful. And if you're not joyful, cheerful, excited, we'll say something's wrong. We've taught you to be fake and not to be real. And come to church and be yourself. You're meant to come to church and say, this is who I am, and how I feel, and that's okay with God. I come just as I am. That's what church is meant to be, where we come as we are, where we meet with Jesus and he transforms us, and I come with my fearfulness, my anxiety, my sadness, my concern, and I meet with Jesus and he heals me. That's what church is meant to be. But because we've taught you to be fake, we've stopped coming to church because, hey, I'm struggling and I can't show that I'm struggling. I'm tired and I can't show I'm tired. I'm fearful and I can't show that I'm fearful. And I make a silent exit from how I'm meant to be and how I'm meant to show myself to you and to the church. The church has made a silent exit. We're still dressing the same, we look the same, we're speaking the same, and it all looks the same, but actually inside we've made a silent exit. Our emotions are not engaged as they used to be. We're not as passionate, we're not as joyful as we used to be because we've made a silent exit. In military terms, you'd call it missing in action. It's where you've got hurt and you've got wounded and we can't find you. It's called missing in action. It's where we've lost something. It's where the relationships are the same. You look the same, dress the same, but something's missing. You're missing in action. In Genesis, God goes to Adam and he says, Adam, where are you? Now, why would God say, Adam, where are you? Because he can see him. He's standing in front of him. He's talking to him. He's saying, Adam, where are you? Why would God say, Adam, where are you? He's saying it because, Adam, you're standing there. I can see you. But inside, you're not moving towards me. Inside, your emotions not engaging with me. Something's changed inside, Adam, where you're not moving towards me. You're moving away from me. You look the same, you're smiling the same, but Adam, inside, you're not for me. Something's changed inside of you. Adam, you have made a silent exit. I had a fish tank, a fish. I felt it was part of my family, and I put the food in the tank so the fish could eat it. And I went away on holiday, and there was enough food in the side of this thing where the fish would just slowly eat the food. I went away on holiday, and when I got back, the fish was dead. And I was sad. My fish, my part of my family, died when I was away on holiday. And I was thinking, I wonder if the fish called for me when I was away. You know, I wonder if the fish said, help! But I was away, you know, don't judge me, it's my fish, you know, my fish was dead and part of my family. I thought my fish, maybe it called for me, Sid, I need some food, I can't get the food, help. See, in the pandemic, some of us have been calling for help, and no one's been hearing us. We've cried silently, but no one's been hearing our cries for help. And this is what the passage says: God is a refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. So it's okay to say, I need help. It's okay to say, help me. You know, some of us aren't very good at asking for help, are we? We're good at giving help, but not very good at asking for help. God is a present help. That means even we must ask him, I need help. Help me. You see, if I break my arm, you can tell my arm's broken. I have it in a bandage. You say, oh, Sid, you've broken your arm. I can see your arm's in a bandage. I know you're hurting because I can see your arm's broken. If I break my leg, you'll see my leg. It's in a bandage. I've wrapped it up. I'm looking after it. You can see, and as you said, your leg is wounded. But when your emotions are wounded, I can't see. We can't see it. You look the same, but you're going to have to ask for help. God is a present help in trouble. So therefore, I must ask for help. I need help. I watched this program on TV. It's called I Shouldn't Be Alive. There's a whole series. You can find them on YouTube. It's amazing where people have got themselves in all kinds of different trouble. And they just kind of, they should be dead, really, but somehow they survive. It's called I Shouldn't Be Alive. And one lady, she's running in the desert. She slips over, falls down the side of a rock, falls down the side of a cliff, lands on the floor, breaks a leg. She's in the middle of nowhere, and the first thing she does is she says, help! There's no one there, but the first thing she does is say, help! There's some people that are in a helicopter, and they're flying over this volcano, and the wind gets them, and the helicopter crashes in the volcano. The helicopter's destroyed, they're all over the place, and the first thing they do is they say, help! There's no one around! The first thing they say is help. God is a present help in trouble. See, we have to ask him for help. When we've made a silent exit, we have to say, God, I need help. And that's where we get to the silent entry, because this is where God enters. This is where God comes to us, and we may not even know he's come. Jacob, he's got himself into trouble. He's made some wrong decisions. He's got himself in a very difficult place. He's made the wrong choices, and he's all alone, and he falls asleep, and he's so stressed that he falls asleep, puts his head on a rock, and he falls asleep with his head on a rock. And whenever you can fall asleep and you think the rock is like a cushy pillow, you're stressed, okay? So he puts his head on this rock, falls asleep, and when he wakes up, he says, this is Genesis 28, 11 to 16, he wakes up and he says, surely God was in this place and I did not know it. See, God can make a silent entry and you and I can be completely unaware of it, unnoticed. We can miss it when God is right here with us right now, and we can say, whoa, where is God? He can make a silent entry and be right here, right now, in trouble, and we can say, God, I don't even know if you're with me. We can be completely unaware that God has made a silent entry. Elisha is with his servant, and his servant sees this army all around them. His servant sees this army all around them, and there's a real army, real swords, real shields, real spears, real arrows, real daggers, all around them. And his servant says to Elisha, we're finished. There's no way we're going to escape. This army's all around us. We're in trouble. There's no way we can get out of this. We're in trouble. And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And his eyes are opened, and he sees real army, real swords, real spears surrounding them, all around them. Real arrows, real daggers, real people surrounding them. But his eyes are open that he sees the armies of heaven surrounding the thing that's surrounding him. And this is the reality that when God makes a silent entry, this whatever's surrounding us, the real thing that's surrounding us, is surrounded by God. Whatever's surrounding you is surrounded by God. And we can be completely unaware that God is here, now, surrounding us, with us. We can be completely unaware that God is right here, right now. See, if I put my headphones on and I'm listening to my music and it's really loud and it's so good, this music, it's great. So if you want to talk to me, don't talk to me because I can't hear what you're saying anyway because, hey, I'm listening to my music. It's so loud. It's so good. I'm so focused on what I want to listen to that I can't hear you. And even if you're going to say something, I'm not going to hear it anyway. I'm listening to this. And this is what it's like. We're so focused on what we're listening to that we can be completely unaware that God is speaking to us, that God is here. And if I am to hear what he has to say to me, I'm going to have to take my apps off, take my phone off, stop watching so much news, to turn some of the stuff off so that I'm not distracted by this, so that I can be aware that God is with me right here, right now. See, God is here right now, and we can be completely unaware of his presence. I've done business meetings like you're about to do one after this service, and we can be in business meetings in church and completely unaware that God is leading us. We can, this afternoon or tomorrow, you'll be in things and work in different places with your family, and you can be completely unaware that God is with you right there, right now. Unrecognized, unperceived. You see, God has spoken. He says it here. God is a refuge and strength, a present help. Present here, right now. He can announce it. It's announced, he said it, he's here right now, but we can be unaware of it, unnoticed that God is right here, unrecognized that God is right here, right now. Have you ever lost anything? Searched all through the house, you looked under the couch, you looked on the side, you looked in drawers, you looked in your briefcase, in your handbag, you just can't find the thing, and then eventually you find it, oh, it was there all the time. My brother-in-law, he lost his cell phone. And I said to him, have you lost your cell phone? He said, no, I've not lost it. I've just forgotten where I put it. See, sometimes it's there all the time, but we just don't see it. We're unaware of it. And sometimes God has to come to us and say, do you know what, church, your prayers have been answered. God is here. In this anniversary service, God is here, your present help, to lead you forward into this next year. God is here. God has to sometimes come to us and say, I've answered your prayers. Think about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. God has to go to him and say, Zechariah, you're praying, but I want you to know that your prayers have been answered. Because sometimes we're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and not recognizing God's already answered our prayers. He says the same to Daniel. He goes to Daniel and says, Daniel, your prayers have been answered. In fact, Daniel, the first moment you began to pray, your answer was on the way. But sometimes we don't even recognize that God has answered our prayers. Do you know, God has answered your prayers. Your prayers have been answered. You're praying to Lord, we want to have an open door into the community. Your prayers have been answered. Lord, we want to be a transformation in our community. Lord, we want to have transformation in our church. Lord, we want to be a loving family. Lord, we want to be together again.
Your prayers have been answered. Sometimes God answers our prayers and we are unaware that he's answered. See, that's the silent entry where God does something, when God enters and we do it and it's unnoticed. We don't see what he has done. The Bible talks about how we as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And we hear all these things. Christ in us is the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is in us. God is with us. A present help in times of trouble. And what we hear the fact, God is with us, Holy Spirit in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, God's with us right here. We hear the fact, and then we take our feelings. We say, oh, I don't feel it. I don't feel like he's here. Tomorrow morning, I don't feel like he's with me. I'm on the bus. I don't feel like God is with me. We take the fact, we put our feelings, I don't feel like it, and then we don't have the faith to believe. But that's not how it works. It works like this. You have the fact God's with us, Holy Spirit in us, present with us. And then you have faith. And faith causes me to behave, causes me to think, causes me to respond according to the fact. And because of my faith, I let my feelings catch up with my faith. That's how it works. When God says, I'm a present help in times of trouble, that's the fact. And I say, Lord, I believe it. And because of my faith, I'm thankful. I say, thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're in me. It's my thankfulness. It's a response of faith to the fact that God says, I'm a present help in trouble. I'm present now with you to help you. And that's why I give him thanks. We give him praise today. In this anniversary, God is a present help in trouble. Let me just draw some of these thoughts to a close, and then we're just going to pray together. God says he's a present help in trouble. Remember the disciples, this is Acts chapter 2, they're locked up in a room for fear. They've got anxiety. They've got concerns. They're locked in a room, and in comes the Holy Spirit, and transforms these fearful, anxious people and transforms them to be witnesses outside of the walls of a building. See, when God is present with us, he comes to transform us. Don't ever try to be a witness without the transforming power of God. When God comes to us, he comes to transform us to be witnesses, and that transformation is what we need today. God says, I'm a present help in trouble. You and I need this. You and I need the presence of God. We need the healing. We need the presence. We need the empowering of God. When God says, I'm a present help, our response is, God, we need you. We need you. See, if I go to a coffee shop and I say, can I have a coffee? They say, we haven't got any coffee. I'll say, why are you open? If I go to a donut shop and they say, we haven't got any donuts, why are you open? If I go to KFC and say, can I have some chicken? They say, we haven't got any chicken. I'll say, why are you open? See, when we come to church, we come because the presence of God is here. That's why we're open. Because the presence of God, I'm a present help in trouble. See, God is standing here right now in our midst. He's here with the power to heal, the power to save, the compassion and the kindness. We just can call on him. We can ask him. He can hear us. We can reach him. We can touch him. God is here. As we've made this silent exit emotionally inside, God has made a silent entry. Can you see it? Can you see him? He's here right now. We can reach him. We can touch him. We can respond to him. As the scripture says, now is the time of salvation. If you call on God, he will hear you. If you reach out to him, he will respond to you. God is a present help in trouble. Do you receive that today? Well, let's pray. I'm just going to wait on the Lord for a moment, and as I've been speaking, God has been just nudging you, just kind of nudging on your heartstrings somewhere. And you want to say, Lord, today I want to respond somehow to this. I need your presence. I need your healing. I need your empowering. Just as you want to respond, I'm just going to ask you to stand before I pray. And you know, I'm standing right now to respond to this myself. So just as you feel comfortable or ready, would you just stand before I pray as your way of saying, Lord, I want to respond to your presence being with me right now. I need your help. Just feel free to do that now. So as you're responding, I'm just going to be holding out my hands. Maybe you want to hold out your hands. So just a posture where we're saying, Lord, I want to receive from you in this moment. Before I pray, why don't you just say something to God? Tell him what you need. Tell him you want to believe. Tell him you've been lonely. Tell him you've been afraid. And then ask him for his help. Father, you are a present help in times of trouble. And Lord, you know we have seen trouble. And so we need your help today. And Lord, on this anniversary service, we pray, put a marker in the ground here for us as a church in this place, that we might cross a threshold where we might say, Lord, we want to be different from here on. Lord, transform us now to respond. Transform us now to move, to act upon what you've said to us. Lord, we step across the line and we say, we are yours. Lead us from here. We are your church. Lead us from here. Go with us, O God. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. So go with us, O God, we pray. Now fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we might live and work to your praise and glory. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to honor your name in this church. We pray that you would raise up leaders, raise up mothers and fathers, and raise up people of compassion, people of kindness. We pray this church would be known for the way they love their community, love this community. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the lonely would find a home here. Lord, we pray that families would be reunited here. Hearts would be healed here. We pray that eyes would be opened here. People would have vision. We pray that as the word is preached in this place, may there always be a revelation of Jesus and a revelation of your cross. Lord, we thank you for all you're doing in this place. We thank you for your faithfulness over the years. And we commit ourselves today to serve you in this place. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless you, everybody. Bless you.